For our scripture reading today, we are going to turn to a very familiar passage in the Old Testament for many people. It is the encounter of Moses with God personally. Now, the passage today is taken from the middle of the whole encounter. So we're going to be starting at verse 17, and I'm asking you to read aloud the Word of God together. So let's read beginning at verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And we're going to pick up on that later on. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you granted Moses the privilege of encountering you in person, physically. And we pray, O Lord, that today the living presence of the Lord Jesus will be encountered by all of us here. Because, Father God, that is what you want to do, to meet with us face to face. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you know, that we're going to be turning to the Old Testament this morning for an open invitation from God. And I hope you are eager to receive it. Today we want to talk about hungering for God, about having a great or greater appetite, a passion for God, to know God in a real, intimate, and personal way in our lives, and let God reveal to us who he is, what he does, what he is all about, because people of God, the bottom line for Christian life is not about getting a lot of biblical knowledge or information. It is about getting to know God on a daily basis. We're going to be using an example from the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 33 as our springboard. The background for that passage is that God has threatened that he is not going to go to the promised land with the people of Israel. The people of Israel have been camping at Mount Sinai, and they have been fighting God every step of the way. So God told them that because of their rebellions, God is not going to accompany them to the promised land. Moses knew that this was a serious situation, and he wanted to meet with God to see whether he could do something about it. And that's where we pick up the story. Verse 7 of chapter 33. Let's read these verses together. You ready? Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, verse 8, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he enters the tent. 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friends. The last few words in verse 11 is very important. God will speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. This is an incredible statement in the Bible. God and Moses would have a conversation as naturally as you would have a conversation over coffee with friends. This is the relationship that God and Moses share. It is mentioned in Deuteronomy, the last chapter. And at the very end, that in verse 10, since the death of Moses, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. God and Moses had a very special relationship. So Moses, understanding that God had a change of heart in terms of leading the people of Israel to the promised land, he wanted to seek God out. And so on Mount Sinai, God and Moses talked this out. Verse 17, this is what we just read. And the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. That is, God is now going to go with the people of Israel to the promised land. Because I'm pleased with you, Moses, and I know you by name. So essentially, Moses got what he wanted. You would think that Moses would have been elated or very satisfied. But the truth is that he wasn't entirely happy with that. Because Moses knew that there was something else he wanted from God. And before this time, he had never dared to ask God about it. But now, encouraged and emboldened by the friendship with God, Moses decided to go for gold. Verse 18, this is what Moses had wanted all along. Moses said to God, now show me your glory. Show me your face. Show me your complete self. Show me all that you are. Because God, I want to know you more clearly. I want to experience you more fully. Show me your glory and let it all shine on me and through me. You know how God responded to Moses' request? Simply, God told Moses that, I can't do that. Verse 20, but he, that is God, said to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. God says, if I'm going to show you my face, my full personality, and all my splendor and power and glory, you are not going to survive because it is too much for any person to handle. I can't do that, Moses. However, I will do something else short of that. Verse 21, then the Lord said to Moses, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And we pick up from where we left off earlier. Verse 22, let's read it together. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. The reason why God had to cover Moses with his hand is to protect him, because whoever sees the face of God will certainly die. Do you know what Moses saw on Mount Sinai that day? We don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But the important thing for us to understand today is not what Moses saw, but the attitude God had towards Moses. God's attitude is that God was excited about Moses' question, his request. He was excited that Moses asked to see his face, his glory, his power. He was excited about revealing himself more and more to Moses. He was excited about granting Moses the opportunity to get a more intimate relationship, a more intimate knowledge of God. God was thrilled with all that, and he did it for Moses. It is interesting that as a result, Moses got to know God in a way that most people don't. Notice Psalm 103. Part of it talks about Moses. Verse 7 in Psalm 103 says that he that is God made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. What is this passage telling us? That there is a difference between Moses and everyone else in Israel. The people of Israel got to see God's actions, what God did. But however, for Moses, it is somewhat different. Moses went beyond that. He actually began to understand the ways of God, why God did, what the heart of God was, the very feelings of God, what makes God tick. Moses got to understand that. Can you imagine getting to know God so well at such a level? It means that you and I could look at any situation in the world, and because we know the feelings of God, we know the heart of God, we know the value system of God. We know exactly what God is going to do and what God is going to say, how he's going to respond. That is how well Moses knew God. Can you imagine you and I knowing God that well? Moses did. But the question that we need to ask us today, knowing all that, is how does that apply to me? So what? How does it affect my everyday life? We are glad that on Mount Sinai, Moses was there to meet with God. It was all very good for him. But does that concern me at all? The answer is that it does. Because the very same God that Moses had, you and I have. God doesn't change a bit. His heart has not changed. His value hasn't changed. His character hasn't changed. His nature hasn't changed. And if God is excited about showing Moses his power and his glory, then surely God would be just as excited about showing himself to us today. If you want to taste more of God, the good news is that God is the same, and he will be just as excited to show you more about himself as he did for Moses. We need to ask ourselves this honest question. What do you really want more out of life? What do we really want more out of life? Do we want more cars, more houses, more stocks? They are good things. Or do we really want to know God a little bit more? But if we really want to know God a little bit more, there are some conditions we need to meet. Moses met them, and it is the same for us. Number one, we have got to realize that such an intimate and personal relationship with God is possible. It is possible to know God in that manner. Believe it or not, many Christians today who are followers of Jesus Christ, but they do not think that such a relation is possible. Why? Because they go to churches where the Bible is taught, but seldom mentioning the fact that God is a person who can be known. And that as a person, we can have an intimate relationship with God as we can with any person. A lot of Christians have no clue that that is the case. When they go to church, they hear salvation message. They attend and they observe rituals and liturgy. They are concerned with numbers, expansion, money, giving, social issues, political issues, but not so much with the living presence of God in their everyday life. You know, here at the Chinese Community Church, we are not perfect. In fact, we are very weak in the eyes of God. But one of the things that we do want to learn and strive after is to imitate and invite the living presence of Jesus Christ into our lives. And this is why Professor Chris in the English Worship Service is preaching on a series about spiritual disciplines. And this is why, you know, throughout our messages, we are talking about the living person of the Lord Jesus. Bible teaching churches sometimes are the worst offenders, because in Bible teaching churches, very often, unknowingly, we emphasize too much on biblical information, on data. And we forget that the most important thing, the preeminent goal in the Christian life, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take an example from Paul. When Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 about his very goal in life, he didn't say that his goal in life was to know the Bible more. He didn't say that, you know, his goal in life was to travel to as many places and be a missionary. He said that his goal in life in verse 10 is that I may know him. I may know Jesus Christ. That is the goal of Christian life. The most important goal for you and I today is to know God and to make him known. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I want us to know that as you leave today, remember that God is a person and God wants you to know him, experience him, discover him, talk and walk with him as friend each and every day, because that is the most important thing for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing and knowing God. If you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want you to leave here realizing that on the other side of that decision, more than just having your sins forgiven, more than just going to heaven and meet with God when you leave this world, we want you to know that there is that opportunity, that exciting chance of connecting with the God of the universe on a day-to-day basis. That kind of relationship is possible. The second thing that we need to remember is that, you know, you and I as followers of God have to thirst after God. We have to crave for God. Did you know that? Did you notice that even though Moses had more of God than any human beings alive, yet he wanted more? Moses wasn't satisfied. There was a passion, there was a hunger in him. He wanted everything he could get in terms of a relationship with God. David has the same hunger and thirst. Psalms 41, verse 1. Let us read this together. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And similarly, in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. This is the language of passion and hunger and thirst. The one thing that sets great men and women apart in the Bible from the people around them is that these believers had a burning, consuming desire for God. They are not happy with a shallow faith in God. This is what God wants us to go for. And remember what Jesus says? In Matthew chapter 5, part of the Beatitude, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. Hunger and thirst. Why did Jesus use these words? It is because Jesus was trying to tell us something about the intensity, the fervor we need to have, wanting God in order for God to respond to us. God is not interested in anyone who wants him casually. God is not interested in people who want him one day a week or even 4 days a week. Jeremiah says, from the word of God, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is not interested in casual followers of Jesus Christ. God is interested in people who want to go all out for him. We need to hunger and thirst after God. And thirdly, if we want this kind of relationship, very important, we have to be willing to pay the price for such a relationship. There are three elements, three items that I want you to remember. There are three costs in such a relationship. The first cost is the price of spending time, quality time, together with God. You and I know that you can build a quality relationship with your spouse by just talking to him or her 5 minutes a week. And in the same way, no followers of Jesus Christ can build a quality relationship with God without the discipline of spending time with God. We have got to take time, make time for God, time to read the Word of God, time to pray, time to wait and listen for God. Recently, I met a Christian, and she told me that she's a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I asked her whether, she reads her Bible that often or not. And she sort of, sheepishly said that, not exactly. She says she reads a lot of novels, including Christian novels. And she reads the Washington Post religiously. That's one of her favorite literature. However, she doesn't read the Bible that often. Maybe once every few weeks or sometimes once every few months. I appreciate her honesty. I really do. And one of the things that we got to realize is that we are never going to learn about God from reading Newsweek, Time magazines, the Washington Post, other than the Bible. We have got to spend time in the Bible, and it's going to cost us time. It is going to cost us discipline. It's going to cost us to slow down, not do other things, except spend time with God. If you want to build an intimate and growing relationship with the God of the universe, this is one of the costs to pay. The second cost to pay is the cost of total honesty, brutal honesty with God. No two persons can become close friends unless they are willing to drop the masks and be honest with one another. The same is true of us and God. Psalm 139, verse 23. This is the prayer on David's part. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious, sinful, frightening thoughts. What is David really saying to God here? David is telling God that, God, I really want to get real with you. I want to know you. I want to experience you more. Let me, however, be really honest with you, because I can't hide anything from you. Have you ever tried to pray this prayer on a consistent basis? You know that a lot of followers of Jesus Christ don't pray this way, because when we allow God to show us what we are and who we are inside, the results are not pretty. It is ugly. There is nothing pretty about this process of asking us to show us who we are inside. You know, God, search me and know my heart. Test me out. Because God is going to do just that. And when we see a little bit of what we are inside, we're not going to be very happy about it. However, the rewards of that process is that people who are willing to go through this process will have God's forgiveness. They would experience God's mercies and compassion. They would have a greater measure of the living presence of the Lord Jesus in their everyday life. The good news of Jesus Christ is that when we ask God to try our hearts, to search us out, to test us, God would tell us that, no problem, I already knew all about you. And he would accept us unconditionally because of what Jesus has done. We need to be brutally honest with God if we really want to get close and closer to God. And then thirdly, there is the cause of suffering, affliction, trials. A lot of Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, do not like to talk about this. But we know that one of the things that really bind us and connect us to God is suffering, trials. Moses suffered. For 40 years, he had to experience rejection and isolation in the wilderness of Midian. David suffered too. For years, he had to run away from Saul, hiding in caves, running for his life. And yet, it is David who wrote, with all honesty, in Psalm 119. Let's read this together. It was good for me to be afflicted. It was good for me to be afflicted. Sorry. Only a part of the verses here. It was good for me to be afflicted. Why would David say that? It is because David knew that in suffering, in trials, in adversity, he learned the ways of God. So away with the nonsense that suffering Christian is completely out of the will of God. Away with the nonsense that, you know, God never sends suffering into the lives of his people. God sometimes God sends suffering and trials into the lives of his people. Away with the nonsense that all that God wants for you and me are health, success, and prosperity. That is not biblical. As a matter of fact, people who know God and the people who are used by God are usually people who went through an inordinate amount of suffering and trials, refining and deepening their faith. Someone has said that, you know, there is a great want about all Christians who have not suffered. There is a great want about all Christians who have not suffered. Basically, what it says is that, you know, all Christians who have not gone through suffering or trials, they are needy Christians. They are shallow Christians. I'm not suggesting that we go out and look for suffering, but I am suggesting that you and I come to God and tell him that we want to know him more, and we're serious about it. That if it means I need to suffer. Three words. If it means I need to suffer, so be it, O Lord. I'm willing to pay that price. And when you make that choice with God, you know that God will respond to you. He would show you, and he would be excited to do so, as he did with Moses. He will reveal to you in fuller and deeper measures. And remember this by way of encouragement. God will never ask us to suffer to a degree beyond what he allows. He will never allow us to suffer to a degree beyond what he wants to do with us and through us. You may remember that twice a year, when we receive new members into our church, we ask them a series of questions. It doesn't matter whether you're transferring your membership or you are joining the church by way of baptism. And this is the last question we ask. Question number 6. Anyone remembers? Free lunch for you. Yes, Louis? Can you say that standing up? Those are the exact words. Thank you. Those are the exact words. If need be, if necessary, are you willing to suffer for Christ? It doesn't mean that God wants us to be suffering Christians, but if necessary, maybe in the way of sickness, maybe in the way of misunderstanding from other people, maybe in the way of other forms of adversity, if necessary, because of your faith, are you willing? As we go into communion, I want us to know that there is such a thing as an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It is possible, and God wants us to go for it. He wants us to hunger and thirst after his relationship. We need to be wanting it bad enough. Casually, you are never going to get there. And understand that it is going to cost us something to have a relationship like this with God. Going to cost us time, going to cost us honesty with God, and it's going to cost us sometimes, if necessary, suffering and trials and difficulties. Maybe during communion time, or sometime today or this week, I would encourage you to ask yourself this question. Take a few minutes to be by yourself. Say to God, God, how badly do I really want you? God, how badly do I really want you? Do I really want you bad enough that I'm willing to do this? Do I really want you bad enough that I am willing to do this? And if your answer is yes, Jesus says, remember his word, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for me. Why? Because they're going to be filled and saturated with God. You come to God with this desire, and God will take care of the rest, and you will never regret making that decision, because it is what the Christian life is all about. I pray that when people get in touch or get into contact with our church, maybe on a Sunday, maybe in the suburb, or maybe when you travel somewhere else for work or for pleasure, and they know that, you know, you're worshiping in this church. Yesterday, you know, during the luncheon reception following the funeral services of King, I overheard part of the conversation, you know, from a small table. There was two ladies talking. And somehow, I just heard one question, you know, popping up. You know, which church do you go to? And immediately I knew that these two were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that, you know, when people knew that we are believers, we are Christians, and that we are connected with the Chinese and Christian church, or we are connected with, you know, Joy Bible Study Group, for instance, they would sense something of the living presence of the Lord Jesus in you. They would seize glimpses of your hunger and thirst for God, because they know that you care deeply about a living relationship with God, and that you are not one of those shallow faith believers. I pray that God will bless our church with many believers like that, believers who are willing to pay the price, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Let's pray.